Let's start again with IFRS 13, please. Go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to present Agenda Paper 14, which deals with amendments to disclosure requirements in IAS 36, Impairment of Assets. I will present two papers. Agenda Paper 14A presents analysis of the comment letters received for the exposure draft that was published in January 2013. And Agenda Paper 14B, which explains due process steps that were followed for the publication of the exposure draft and for the final amendment. I will start with Agenda Paper 14A, which, as I said, summarizes the comment letters received for the exposure draft. The aim of the exposure draft was to clarify the ISB's intention when it amended some disclosure requirements in IAS 36 when it issued IFRS 13. The ISB originally intended to amend IAS 36 to require entity to disclose a recoverable amount for impaired assets. But instead, the amendment resulted in requirements to disclose recoverable amount for each cash generating unit for which carrying amount of goodwill is significant. Additionally, the exposure draft also proposes to require some additional disclosure requirements for fair value less cost of disposal. The exposure draft proposes that amendment should apply retrospectively. The comment letter analysis starts in paragraph 10 of the agenda paper 14A. We received 71 comment letters to this amendment, to this exposure draft, and generally vast majority of the respondents was supportive for the amendment. Almost all the respondents agreed with the proposal to remove the requirements to disclose recoverable amount for each cash generating unit and instead to require it for impaired asset. However, some respondents, a few of them, disagreed with the proposal to add this new requirement, and the main reason was that they were simply against adding any new disclosure requirements to the standards. A few respondents believed also that the disclosure would be commercially sensitive in case if an entity would like to start negotiation to sell impaired asset. In relation to additional disclosure requirements for fair value less cost of disposal, again, the vast majority of the respondents supported this proposal. However, we know that a few respondents believe that the proposed amendment would result in the disclosure requirements much broader for fair value less cost of disposal than for value in use. The staff, however, think that this balance was already considered when ISB decided to require additional requirements for fair value when it issued IFRS 13. And the current proposal only seeks to align disclosure requirements for cash-generating unit and impaired asset. Also, the vast majority of the respondents agreed that the amendment should apply retrospectively. Some respondents asked whether retrospective application would provide any useful information for the users of financial statements. And we think that retrospective nature of the amendment represents a relief for the preparers because the amendment effectively narrows the disclosure requirements that are necessary. So that's why we think that retrospective application should be applied. In addition, the respondents rise to other issues. First of all, some respondents think that the word material in paragraph 130 should be retained to assure that disclosure are required only for material impaired losses recognized or reversed during the period. However, we believe that the ISB's rationale that was already presented in the basis for conclusions for exposure draft is still valid, that all the standards are governed by the general materiality principle that is presented in IS 1 and IS 8. And one more comment was about illustrative example that was proposed in exposure draft. Some respondents questioned whether this illustrative example would be useful because it did not illustrate all the disclosure requirements for recoverable amount, but only a few of them. So the respondents thought that such example could be misleading rather than helpful. We noted that that illustrative example 15 to IFRS 13 also also illustrates similar disclosures as the ones that were proposed in the illustrative example in exposure draft. Based on this and taking into consideration these comments from the respondents, we think that illustrative example should not be retained in the final amendment. Based on this vast majority support for the exposure draft, we would like to ask we would like to recommend to the ISB that it should finalize the amendment. And in question one to agenda paper 14A, we ask the board whether it agrees with the staff recommendation to finalize the amendment, and if it grants the staff permission to proceed with the ballot process for the amendment.
Any comments or questions?
One comment, Barbara. I'm in favor of the recommendation, but in paragraph 30, I'm just curious why you didn't consider embellishing the illustrative example and adding the additional disclosures that some people thought should be there. We're always accused of being too prescriptive and loading, you know, our standards with too many disclosures. Here, stakeholders are telling us the reason why we don't like the example is it's not robust enough. So if you make it more robust, it would be useful. Mm-hmm. So why did we just decide to toss it?
I don't know. There wasn't much excitement about the examples, was there? I mean, I think the main comments we received were negative comments rather than thinking it was a good idea. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, and that was actually a suggestion from the comment letters that they don't want this example, at least of some of the respondents.
Yeah, because they don't want to have to provide the disclosure. And this provides a baseline, and this sentence says they didn't like it because it wasn't comprehensive enough. Well, all right, let's make it more comprehensive then.
Yeah, they raised the issue that if we only showed a couple of disclosures, people might get confused and might think that these are the only disclosure requirements. And they also
sounds like my dog ate my homework. You know, that it's along that line of.
Yeah, it's familiar. People.
It's pretty weak.
People hate thinking for themselves. We go.
Can I ask? No, this amendment is about disclosure.
Yes.
And what does retrospective application mean?
It means that also the comparative information should be presented according to the amendment.
So if you're applying IFRS 13, for example, and you were in the scope of these 36 requirements, you should provide the disclosures as set out per the amendments,
yeah,
as amended.
Yeah.
And so the main effect of making it retrospective is to make it clear that if you've got a cash-generating unit that's got significant goodwill, that you don't have to necessarily provide the disclosures. It's only when you've got the impaired scope. So you'd be providing the disclosures in the way that the board originally intended. And I guess for me, that's also the reason it makes sense for it to be retrospective, because let's not forget, really, the main reason for this amendment was we made a mistake in the drafting, and we're trying to get back to what the board originally intended so that they would be providing disclosures as had originally been anticipated.
So relate to the competitive period.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as Sue said, we are just correcting a mistake we made. Most entities will have to apply IFRS 13 from 1/1 this year, so they are already in the system. And for the Q1 of this year, they have to apply a disclosure requirement, which unfortunately is not what we intended, and which is more onerous than what we really intended. And the timing of issuing this text will unfortunately not be able to alleviate this problem for Q1. I hope it can do for Q2. So is there any way we can help those entities which have to report in Q1 under the unintended requirement? Early application is possible, but it depends really on the timing of publication. They might not be able to wait for the publication of the standard. Is there anything we can do?
not when it's been endorsed. I mean, if it's in the
endorsement will take some further time. That's the problem. So people will have to do some unintended disclosures, which are heavy, burdensome. That's not what we want. And we are a bit late in correcting our mistake, and we still have to do it. And then when we have the correction, I'd have to redo it again, including the comparatives on the proper basis. I think it's very, very unfortunate.
Yeah. Just have to fix it as fast as we can.
Yeah, I think we really need to rush. We need to rush. And we hope that the ones who endorse it will understand it's urgent to correct this mistake.
As a former regulator, what would I tell my companies?
Close one eye and move on.
Gee, I mean, isn't this solvable in practice when you know what's coming? Mary?
Support the staff recommendations to move ahead and finalize. Just had a question about paragraph 3132, cost to sell versus cost of disposal. Do we really have to wind up the whole AIP process to conform the language, or is this just a drafting comment we could make on the back of the CD?
We let know IFRIC, and it's up to IFRIC to decide how to address it. As far as we know, probably they will check all the standards, because it's not only IFRS 5 and IS 36 when these words appear, so probably they will check all the standards and will think if in each case it is necessary to align the wording or not.
It just seems like a lot of process that if we think there is no distinction and we've noted a difference here, should we just make the conforming change?
We can check from a due process perspective. Whether we're comfortable it's editorial, in which case we could do it more quickly.
Yeah.
I think the intention is we'll do it as efficiently as we can.
Yeah.
We'll double check.
Okay. Any more comments? Can we agree with the staff's recommendation? We have permission to start the balloting. So, now let me refresh. Sorry, the conceptual framework.
No,
14B.
Oh,
14B. Sorry. Don't get your hopes up.
Agenda paper, appendix to agenda paper 14.
That's the most important.
It outlines the due process steps that were followed for the publication of the exposure draft and that are followed for the publication of the final amendment. The staff note that the required due process steps applicable for the amendment has been completed. And in question 2 to the agenda paper 14B, we ask the board whether it is satisfied with the process that was followed.
Are we happy?
And I guess for completeness, is anybody intending to dissent for completeness? Abstain?
No one wants to stick to the original mistake. No? Okay. All right. We're all set. Okay. Can we now continue with the conceptual framework? We need to get the conceptual people. Okay.
Just because we are starting early doesn't mean we have to stay till 6:15.